We worship you, Lord Jesus. And we pray now that you would speak to our hearts, that you would bring us that peace and that strength that we need. For we pray in your name and for your glory. Amen. Do have a seat. What do you do when life hits a bump in the road? As quite often happens, when something quite doesn't quite pan out the way we'd hoped or planned. Things can happen, can't they? Like redundancy or illness or the loss of a loved one. And that can knock us for six. And sometimes even changes which aren't necessarily in themselves negative can leave us just feeling a bit kind of wobbly, a bit unsure. Maybe a move or a change of job. There are all sorts of things that can affect how we see ourselves, that can call us to question our place in the world, or knock our confidence, maybe, in our own abilities. What can we rely on or fall back on during difficult or uncertain times? I think we're much better able to cope with them when our lives have something firm underpinning them, a solid foundation, something underneath everything else which can stand firm even when everything else feels a bit shaky. Isaiah, if you remember, is writing when God's people are in exile in Babylon. Their country had been invaded and great numbers of them had been deported. They're far from home in a strange and unfamiliar land. This was not what they'd planned or hoped for. Their sense of identity is shaken, as well as their confidence in God's love for them and his promises to them. And Isaiah says, "Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn." He's urging them to remember that there is something which makes them who they are, which runs deeper than the circumstances that they now find themselves in. Something deeper and unchanging, even if outwardly their lives have changed. He urges them to remember Abraham and Sarah. When God called Abraham to leave everything he knew behind and go to a land that God would show him, Abraham put his faith in God and he went. And when Abraham and Sarah were both really old and still childless, God promised Abraham that he would have a son and indeed so many descendants that there'd be too many to count. And Abraham put his faith in God and his promise. So is Abraham the rock that Isaiah refers to? Well, in the sense that those now in exile in Babylon are those descendants Abraham had been promised, then yes. But I think there's a bit more to it than just that. What is it about Abraham that can give the exiles the hope and confidence that will help them stand firm in their own difficult situation? I would say that it's Abraham's faith. Faith that God would guide him and be with him as he journeyed into the unknown. Faith that God would keep his promises and bless him with offspring even when it looked doubtful. Whatever uncertainty or upheaval they face, God's people have something which runs much deeper in their lives, which is an unchanging foundation for them to depend on. And it's that same faith in the same unchanging, promise-keeping God that Abraham had. That was true for those in exile, and it's true for us. We're cut from that same rock. We can have that same secure faith in the same God, the never-failing God that Isaiah reminds us is compassionate and just, and whose promise to those who are struggling is that joy and gladness and thanksgiving will return. When I looked at these readings earlier this week, I noticed that the idea of a rock appeared in both of them. In the passage from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus renames his disciple Simon. "You are Peter," he says, "and on this rock I will build my church." And we could ask the same question as before. Is it Peter himself who is the rock? Because that's what Peter means, rock. Or is it something about Peter that is the rock that Jesus refers to? Peter clearly took a leadership role amongst those first disciples and the nucleus of the church as it got going after Jesus' death. But he wasn't the only one, and certainly when it came to spreading the gospel beyond its Jewish roots, others like Paul had an equally important role. But again, I think what Jesus saw in Peter that day was a faith in him that would underpin the community of faith that Jesus wanted to build. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" He often referred to him in that way, as the Son of Man, a somewhat cryptic way of emphasizing both his humanity, but also a link to the messianic figure described by Daniel in the Jewish scriptures. It's open-ended. So what do people make of him? Opinion is divided, it seems. Some think Jesus is John the Baptist come back to life, or others Elijah, or one of the other dead prophets. And even today, opinion about Jesus is divided, isn't it? Which makes Jesus' next question as relevant and as pointed as it was 2,000 years ago. It's a question we each have to answer for ourselves. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? It's not an unfair question. These men have spent real up close and personal time with Jesus. They've listened carefully to his teaching. They've had the opportunity to ask their questions. They've been able to closely observe Jesus, and not just his words, but his actions as well. And when we've done the same, it's a fair question for Jesus to ask us too. So come on then, who do you say I am? Well, Peter jumps in with both feet, as usual. "You're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." But for once, this isn't just Peter being a hothead. "Blessed are you, Simon," says Jesus, "for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." In that moment, Peter expressed a faith in God's revelation to him and a faith in who Jesus is. And it was that kind of faith that Jesus knew his followers were going to need going forward when the odds were against them. They would need that bedrock of faith like Peter's to underpin their lives when they were being persecuted and imprisoned and worse. We'd be forgiven, I think, for thinking, "But my faith will never be as strong as Abraham's or Peter's. How can my faith in God and in Jesus be strong enough to give me that foundation my life needs?" But Abraham and Peter were far from perfect. Abraham does some very questionable things on occasions. And he and Sarah make the mistake of thinking they could hurry God's plans along a bit in their desire for a child, something which had nearly disastrous and certainly far-reaching consequences. And Peter may have bravely announced Jesus was the Messiah one minute, but we know, as the gospel continues, it's not plain sailing for him, and later he denies even knowing Jesus. No, the heroes of faith in the Bible often, in fact pretty much all of them, have feet of clay. They're ordinary and fallible and human, just like us. And yet there is something rock-like about their faith. Weak though it sometimes was, it was strong enough to be the firm foundation for them to live their lives by and to do amazing things for God and Saviour who called them. The key thing was not the strength of their faith, but the strength of the God they put their faith in. The key thing was not the strength of their faith, but the strength of the God they put their faith in. It wasn't Peter who would have to build the church. Jesus says, I will build my church. I just need someone with the faith to believe that even when he is weak, I am strong enough to do it. So the question for us is not, is my faith strong enough to see me through these bumps in the road that life throws at me, but is the God I trust strong enough? And the answer is yes. When life is uncertain, when plans change or the ground seems to shift beneath us, we can remember that our faith, as fragile and as weak as it often feels, is in the same compassionate, faithful and powerful God who called and kept his promises to Abraham, the same Father who revealed himself to Peter, and in the same Christ who can build his church and be at work in our lives, often despite us. We are still his children, whatever happens. That's what makes that faith a rock and a firm foundation for our lives. Something to hold on to and put our trust in, come what may. Let's pray. Loving God, when life feels uncertain and shaky, help us to remember the rock on which our faith is founded. Give us the faith of Abraham and Peter, not because we are strong, but because you are strong. Help us to trust your promises, to follow you when we cannot see the way ahead, and to remember that even when our faith is weak, you remain faithful. Restore our joy, fill us with gladness, and may we know your presence with us in every circumstance and find in you the strength, hope, and peace that we need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look to the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail.
The second reading from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.